So this evening, we're joined by Ben Murphy-Schmiel and CJ Marina, who are going to, both Lehigh students, and they're going to give a presentation on environmental justice and the Climate Action Plan. So please take it away.
Hi guys, Ben, thank you for sharing. I hope everyone's doing well. I guess we just want to start by saying thank you so much to the Bethlehem EIC. It's been such a great opportunity interning for it, and it's been very eye-opening learning about environmental justice throughout the city of Bethlehem. I guess for just a brief personal introduction, I'm CJ Marina. I'm a rising sophomore. Here at Lehigh University. I guess a big part of my sustainability story is that I'm a member of the Lehigh University EcoRep Leadership Program. I actually have an assistant position there over the summer, which should be really neat. Another point I should add is that I'm also the proud owner of a Great Pyrenees Mountain Dog. It's about a 120-pound ball of fluff. He loves to speak up, so if he does during the meeting, I apologize in advance.
I have a much smaller dog than that. She's about like this long. But my name is Ben Murphy-Schmiel, and I am a rising sophomore at Lehigh as well. And I work for the Office of Sustainability there, and I'm also interning with Penn Environment this summer.
Very good.
So what are we going to be talking about today? Well, our main point will be reviewing the Bethlehem Climate Action Plan. As we all know, it was passed a few months ago or this year. And we're specifically going to be looking at the parts pertaining to environmental justice. We're going to approach this by a number of ways, the first being analyzing the climate action plans of other cities. And in doing that, we hope to bring the point across that Bethlehem's climate action plan is actually very forward and justice oriented, which is good. We'll then evaluate the health concerns of air and water pollution throughout the city. And unfortunately, this will kind of show how prevalent environmental injustice is throughout the city. We'll then discuss the creation of an EJC, and we'll actually offer some potential candidates that we think would fit well on that council. And finally, we'll discuss some possible city ordinances and EIC actions that can help make environmental justice a reality in Bethlehem.
So the first thing we're going to take a look at is how environmental justice is incorporated into Bethlehem's Climate Action Plan, and more in general on what environmental racism and inequality means for our frontline communities. So pollution is disproportionately concentrated in the communities of Black, Indigenous, and people of color and low-income communities due to environmental racism and historical injustice, and this causes disproportionate short-term and long-term health effects. The Bethlehem CAP contains this chapter regarding environmental justice to address these issues and promote equality throughout the city. So environmental racism is the institutional regulations or corporate decisions that deliberately target certain communities for undesirable land uses, resulting in disproportionate exposure to hazardous waste based on race. So toxic facilities such as battery plants, landfills, truck depots, and incinerators are given placement in the US by race even more than social class. And this graph shows that between 2003 and 2015, Black Americans were exposed to 63% more pollution than they produce, while non-Hispanic white Americans were exposed to 17% less than what they produced. And how do these injustices occur? Historically, corporations have chosen to locate their toxic plants in these communities since members often have disconnections with zoning boards and city councils. It's often difficult for minority communities to raise the money to fight for the legal expertise to fight a siting, and some communities face language barriers. And then frontline communities are the BIPOC, low-income, and linguistically isolated communities that face unequal amounts of pollution and experience climate change's worst effects. And these communities are the ones that are facing the environmental racism and historical injustice. And as you can see on this map, based on EJ Screen's demographic index, Bethlehem's frontline communities are concentrated in the South Side and the East. On this map, you can see the most extreme cases of this in the dark red and the yellows, and then to a less extreme extent in the grays, the darker grays.
So how does the CAP plan to bring environmental justice to Bethlehem? Well, we thought the main provision it has is really the empowerment of those frontline communities, really ensuring that they have the power, resources, and knowledge to bring about effective, sustainable change in their communities. And the city really ensures this empowerment in two ways. The first, by establishing a just and ethical long-term framework, which supports the equity for all Bethlehem residents. And it also ensures that 40% of the overall benefits resulting from city spending will go directly to those frontline communities, which is a very generous number. And this is really essential because those frontline communities are gonna be where resources are needed the most, as we'll talk about more further in the presentation. And there's actually those two bullet points I just spoke about were actually integrated from President Joe Biden's environmental justice plan. And there's actually a number of alignments between Bethlehem's CAP and that plan. For example, Biden plans to increase the monitoring of pollution in frontline communities, which really aligns strongly with the CAP's strategy EJ 2.4. The lack of monitoring in Bethlehem is something we'll speak of further down the presentation in the key actions portion. And Biden also plans to direct the EPA to create a community notification program, which really links key pollutant producers, big industries, to their subsequent communities, which creates a lot of accountability for them. And this aligns strongly with the CAP's EJ 1.3.
So now that we've gone over some of the content of the CAP, we're going to analyze the climate action plans of other cities to develop more detailed strategies to promote environmental equity in Bethlehem. So the three cities that we looked at regarding their climate action plans addressing environmental justice concerns are the city of Santa Monica, California, Richmond, California, and Providence, Rhode Island. So compared to many other climate action plans we looked at, the Bethlehem CAP is very detailed and justice-oriented compared to most others. And this, of course, excludes much larger major cities that were not anywhere close to Bethlehem in population or land area. And in addition to an entire section dedicated to environmental justice concerns, justice is also considered across the entire mitigation strategy section within the majority of the actions. So it's difficult to introduce entirely new strategies as it is to build on existing ones. So first, we're going to take a quick look at the Santa Monica Climate Action Plan. Like Bethlehem's CAP, the Santa Monica Plan is constructed of various sections of strategies to address environmental issues. And we're going to take a look at these strategies that may expand upon existing ones in the Bethlehem CAP. The first category that I think is worth noting from the Santa Monica plan is buildings, which is with its strategy ZNC11 to create equitable access to clean energy programs. This strategy is very similar to Bethlehem CAP's strategy B3.9, which aims to partner with utilities to increase the awareness of opportunities for energy audits, efficiency improvements, and other energy saving measures. And I think that Santa Monica's strategy can be used to expand upon Bethlehem's because it's specifically tailored towards low-income communities. Creating programs for free home energy audits in frontline communities would encourage environmental equity and allow homeowners to save money and put those funds towards other improvements on their living conditions. And then we also have food and waste, which the Santa Monica plan has the strategy ZW8 to foster a food waste prevention network, which I found particularly interesting since Bethlehem does not really have anything specifically like it that calls to, and we'll be speaking about this more later in the presentation. And then the third category we wanted to emphasize from Santa Monica is public engagement. It's CE3 strategy calling to launch a community climate action grant, to foster more public engagement and sustainability and enhancing equity. So next we'll be looking at the Providence Climate Justice Plan to build upon environmental justice strategies. EJ 1.1 of the CAP calls for the creation of a Bethlehem Climate and Environmental Justice Plan, and this will be separate from the CAP and is planned to be modeled after the Providence Plan. And the purpose of Providence's climate justice plan is to create an equitable, low carbon and climate resilient future. And it's very thorough with a large amount of strategies. And we're including a few that I think are relative to the main points of the presentation or that could be incorporated into Bethlehem. The first relevant category is collaborative governance and accountability, which one of the goals being ensuring that the most impacted by climate change are the ones centered in the decision-making process for solutions. And their strategies to reach these goals include city staff training. Their specific goal being by 2025, all city staff are trained upon hire and have continuing education on racial equity, anti-racism, environmental justice, and implicit bias, and also establishing green justice zones in frontline communities. And then the second category we looked at for inspiration was community health, with the Providence goal of promoting healthy air from community spaces free of pollution for all residents. And their strategies, including exploring a zoning policy to reduce pollution and improve community health. And we'll be looking a lot at equitable planning and zoning ordinances further into the presentation. And then the final category we looked at is transportation, with the Providence goal of ensuring all residents have access to clean and efficient public transportation. And this is especially relevant to Southside Bethlehem, and we'll be analyzing Southside air quality extensively throughout the presentation.
So now we'll take a deeper dive into air and water pollution throughout Bethlehem. And the primary bad guys will be particulate matter and ozone, which are causing most of the pollution throughout Bethlehem. So particulate matter, also called PM, is really a combination of many pollutants, both organic and inorganic. Dust, soot, and pollen are all in there. Ozone is just O3. And both of these can penetrate into our bodies, causing damage to our heart airways, lung airways, just a lot of our systems. And the primary place that these will be coming from in Bethlehem are the combustion of fossil fuels, which used to be steel stacks, but is now transportation. But we're definitely still seeing the effects of steel stacks. And these are so prominent in Bethlehem that the Barter Lehigh Valley was actually named one of the top 10 worst places to live for people with asthma. And according to the American Lung Association, the Lehigh Valley actually received an F for the number of days in high ozone pollution, which just kind of tells the story of how much pollution there is in this region. We think temperature inversion is definitely playing its part. We have a little graph here explaining that. There's basically a layer of warm light air that's keeping the cold polluted air trapped beneath those mountains in the valley, which is most certainly playing a part. And just more on air pollution, it is going to disproportionately affect those frontline communities that are actually producing less pollution because they're using less fossil fuels. This just coincides to the frontline communities' proximity to those places of heavy traffic and intersections. We also did some research into Bethlehem's heating oil provider, Fritch. Ben, do you want to talk more about that?
Yeah, we met with Dr. Brina Holland and told us that something she was curious about was the effect of residential heating oil on Southside air quality. And upon our initial research, we found that number two heating oil is used in the oil furnaces of Fritch. And number two heating oil includes diesel fuel, and diesel vehicles are the main contributors to the high amount of particulate matter in Bethlehem. So it's still unclear how large of an effect emissions from number two heating oil have on community health. Dr. Holland said to us that this correlation is hypothesized since air quality has been observed to be worse during the winter months, which an increased use of heating oil may contribute to, along with Bethlehem's topography.
Yeah, and we will definitely talk about that, exploring that correlation more in the key action section. But as for now, those implications of the pollutants, there are very high levels of asthma and heart disease in Bethlehem. We have some graphs in the next slide that will really show that. And the consequence of this is that some stats we found on asthma is that asthma sufferers actually pay an additional $3,266 per year. This is even more tragic because a lot of frontline community members have higher rates of asthma. And